The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark, chapter 8, verse 27 to 38.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their lives for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, for them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let me start by asking three questions that are deeply intertwined. First one is, what gives you the greatest joy in life? The second, what creates for you the deepest sense of purpose? And the third one is, when do you feel most alive, most true to the person you believe God created you to be? Now, please take a moment to ponder your answers. I'm going to give you some thinking music. Joy in your life? What creates for you the deepest sense of purpose? And when do you feel most alive, most true to the person you believe God has created you to be? Now hold those three thoughts for a few moments and we'll return to them a little bit later. So here we face a passage of scripture from Mark's gospel that is not only intriguing, that is not only elusive and utterly captivating, but this passage is also crucial to understanding Mark's gospel and the invitation into the kingdom that this passage seeks to share with us. The Gospel of Mark has long been thought of as the briefest of gospels, and for that reason somewhat unexciting of all the four gospels. However, a closer look at Mark's gospel shows us He was a master of suspense, a master of surprise. In Jesus' questioning of his disciples in verse 29, "Who do you say that I am?" it is a carefully developed, though largely implicit, element of suspense and tension, which is finally made explicit. Now, throughout Mark's story, up to this point, no one is quite sure what to make of Jesus. In fact, no one even knows who he is, except that is the reader, which is us. Because we're told in the very first verse that he is the Son of God. In Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." So we're told right up the front, as the reader of Mark's gospel, who Jesus is. But the characters in the gospel, they don't know who he is. They're not sure who Jesus is. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 24, we see the first of many demons who recognize Jesus right off the bat. The demons cry out to him and they say, "Let us alone. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And so when we read Mark's gospel, we feel that same sense of tension as when we watch a movie, especially when we know something that the main characters in the movie don't know. And all the time we want them to figure it out, and we're worried what will happen if they don't do that. And so we almost breathe a sigh of relief when Peter, in a flash of insight, is no longer content with viewing Jesus as one of the prophets, but realizes that Jesus is God's Messiah, the chosen one, God in the flesh, the one anointed to deliver Israel from oppression. And so we think, yeah, he's finally got it. Or has he? Yes, Peter gets the title right, but he doesn't seem to understand what the title means. And so when Jesus begins to talk not about the road to glory, but instead the one that leads to the cross, Peter rebukes him, and then Jesus rebukes Peter right back. Now all this calls into question our own understanding of Jesus, because we have to admit that Peter's definition of Messiah is the one we prefer as well. Peter and us, we want a strong God. We want a God who heals our illnesses. We want a God who provides for our needs. We want a God who guarantees our security and generally keeps us happy. But that's not what Jesus offers. Instead, Jesus points to a God who meets us in vulnerability. A God who meets us in suffering and loss. A God who meets us in those moments when we really need God. Those moments when all we had worked for, when all we had hoped for, when all we had struggled for falls apart. And it's in those moments that we realize that we are quite simply mortal. We are incapable of saving ourselves. And we are desperately in need of a God who meets us where we are. Jesus' identity proves elusive, precisely because God shows up just where we least expect God to be, which means that we don't get the God we want, but instead we get the God we need. So far, Jesus has been talking only to his disciples. But after this encounter with Peter, Jesus calls the crowd to come closer and listen. You could almost imagine the disciples going, "Oh, right, great." So Jesus calls the crowd to listen, and then he takes up the question of true Christian life. Jesus is startlingly plain and simple. He says, "Those who wish to follow him must deny themselves and take up their cross." Now, we all need to just slow down for a moment here and look at this statement very carefully, because we tend to view Jesus' language of cross-bearing and denial through the lens of Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig, yeah? You know, a little less of the things that you like, and don't overindulge in the things that make you happy, and cut the enjoyment calories whenever possible because they're not Christian. But I don't think that Jesus is, what Jesus is talking about is that at all. He's telling us instead that the life that the world has been packaged and sold to us isn't really life. It's not real life. And we need to die to those illusions that the world has packaged and sold to us and be born into the abundant life God wants for us. So here's the big idea this morning. We tend to think that life is something that you go out and get. Life is something you go out and earn. Life is something you go out and buy or win. But it turns out that life is a lot like love. It can't be won, it can't be earned, it can't be bought. It can only be given away. And the more you give it away, the more you will have. In fact, and as first-time parents experience profoundly, only when you love others do you most understand what love really is. Likewise, only when you give away your life for the sake of another do you really discover your life. Now, somehow in thinking about how to fulfill others' needs, your own deepest needs are often met. In fact, they are always met. And this is the mystery of life and the very key to the kingdom of God, the very key to Christian life. This story, this passage literally stands at the very center of Mark's story of Jesus. Literally, to the page, to the paragraph, to the sentence. It stands in the center of Mark's story of Jesus. Before this story, Jesus is teaching and preaching, and he's doing that throughout the region of Galilee. This story now marks a turning point. We read it in the Gospel of Isaiah. Jesus set his face like a flint. From this moment on, as Luke's Gospel described, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. Luke is paraphrasing the Isaiah scripture. And so begins the relentless march to the cross from this point on in Mark's Gospel. In this sense, this text is the pivotal point of the Gospel. And so we need to understand that Jesus' message was and is today absolutely and totally countercultural. Countercultural. We no longer live in the Garden of Eden, where life was perfect. Today we live east of Eden, where we live in a world of quid pro quo. We live in a world of scarcity, where there's never enough. We live in a world where the only thing you can count on are the things that you own. And so Jesus challenges all of that, all of the world's precepts, by telling us that the only thing you can hold on to are the things that you give away. Things like love, things like mercy, things like kindness and compassion. Which is why this story is simply crucial this morning. So this, in turn, brings us back to these three questions. So, what did you say gives you the greatest joy in life? What did you say creates for you the deepest sense of purpose? And when do you feel the most alive, the truest to the person you believe God created you to be? My guess is that it wasn't something you bought. My guess is it wasn't something you earned, but rather it was rooted in relationship or in an act of service, where you were caring for another. Self-denial and cross-bearing are not about being less happy this morning. Self-denial and cross-bearing are about discovering real and abundant life, the kind of life this culture can hardly imagine, the kind of life that comes in and through sacrificial love in service to another. So let us pray. Lord God of eternity, creator and sustainer of every atom of every galaxy, commander of life and death, king of all powers in heaven and on earth and under the earth, may we learn to see beyond our passing world to your eternal world. May we have hearts that are pulling towards our real home with you, so that every moment of our life here is lived to your praise and glory. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.